So we begin this morning with a question. And the disclaimer is this is directed straight at my own heart as well. Have we been neglecting our inner world? If I neglect my inner world, I put all my hopes and dreams and expectations on my outer world of relationships, of work, of family, of fun, of experiences, of achievements, and consumption. Our outer world is not meant to hold up under the weight of all our experiences, both good and bad. The outer world is meant to echo the abundance of our inner world with Jesus. When we switch that order of the two worlds, we tend towards exhaustion. Anxiety, frustration, resentment, momentary happiness, or depression. And we certainly have trouble serving and loving. When we are looking only to our outer world for that which only the inner world can provide, we end up on a race to nowhere. There's so much at stake when we forget to nurture and draw from our inner world with God. So we begin this morning with a purposeful time of silence, a time to unburden ourselves of the things that are weighing us down, to give them over to God, the healer. Let us spend some time embracing silence and solitude, breathing and listening, Sabbath and prayer. Sabbath is bringing our inner world to the divine healer. Sabbath is peace. So we're going to spend 3 minutes. 3 minutes is not a lot of time, but when we're not used to spending 3 minutes in silence with God, it can feel like a ringing eternity. Use this time with God. Let us begin and give our hearts to God this morning. How beautiful is it to be in a room full of people in silent celebration with our loving God? I don't think it should be as countercultural as it is to be in a room and to be silent. The world is going so fast, and we are earning and buying and rushing and doing that once in a while when we hit the brakes and take a deep breath with our Creator and Redeemer, it is a beautiful thing. But it shouldn't be as countercultural as it is. We're going to spend a few minutes recapping the first 4 weeks of this series to track along and celebrate some of the things that we've been learning together, and then jump into the series conclusion this morning. In the first 2 weeks, we talked about the first step of Sabbath rest being emptying ourselves before God. Sabbath as emptying. Before we can learn, we must unlearn our bad habits and tendencies of rush. We talked about emptying being silence and solitude, contemplation, surrender, and confession before God. If you guys remember those few weeks ago, we talked about how fun confession is. What a great time. It's so fun to confess and unburden ourselves before God. I say that with a bit of irony, because it really is actually a beautiful and fun thing to do. It's just the first step of getting there is the hardest. In the third week, Heather preached about filling ourselves up. Sabbath as fullness of Christ. Week 1 and 2 were Sabbath as emptying, and week 3 was Sabbath as fullness of Christ. Filling ourselves up in the presence of God, memorizing and meditating on His word and promises. And last week, Timothy preached on Sabbath as community. Sabbath isn't only isolation. It is experiencing Sabbath joy as a collective, as a body of people who love God together. This is feasting with family and friends and fighting against rush altogether. So this morning, we are ending where we started with surrender, with time with Jesus, taking communion together, because it is Sabbath as recalibration. Sabbath recalibrates us to the kingdom of God over the kingdom of self. It turns our judgments into love. We end where we started so we can leave here not only practicing Sabbath, but having been recalibrated with Christ. In the very first week, we read this passage, and we're going to read it again this morning. It's the Eugene Peterson Message version of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Are you tired? Are you burned out? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Boy, is that a promise we ought to hold on to. From the very beginning of time, God created you and I for rest. We are designed for rest. The Bible mentions rest 500 times. The word rest is in the Bible. This is in the same ballpark as the word love. Sabbath is mentioned another 170 times. It's almost like Sabbath and rest are something God doesn't want us forgetting. This series has been all about this one simple idea. The Sabbath is not running from reality, but running to God. So let us wrap up this series with just that, running to the presence of God. Not ignoring our reality, not pretending our stresses and anxieties and problems don't exist, but running to God with the fullness of who we are. And unfortunately, I truly mean this, unfortunately, I think religion is one of the safest places to hide from God and to hide from our reality. But this morning, let us together take a step in authenticity towards God. I have a quick question. You can raise your hand. You don't have to. Who feels like the world is kind of spinning a bit out of control? Like, what is happening with all the stuff? It's polarizing as ever, more aggressive than ever. It's you're either in or you're out. There's so much dualism and evil and good, and it just seems so extreme. Would anyone agree with that? I know these are scary and uncertain and hurtful times, but I truly believe it is time for us to stop talking about what a dumpster fire the world is, even though I just did. Our world is a wounded relative, not a hopeless ruin, and you and I, as followers of Jesus, are called to help heal the injuries that we've often inflicted ourselves. This is God's creation. This world is His. Let's not give up. Let us instead find the courage to bring beauty and healing to God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In these intense times, I think the need for Sabbath rest is a prophetic voice that is definitely silent. Beth Moore recently wrote, "When the gospel has become bad news to the poor, to the oppressed, to the brokenhearted and imprisoned, and good news to the proud, to the self-righteous, and the privileged instead, it is no longer the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." I think our world needs a dose of Sabbath rest and the resulting healing flood from our all-loving God. I think instead of us giving up on our reality, it is time to be fueled with the love of God. And the starting point is true Sabbath. It's time for us to bring healing to this world together, one step at a time. Why allow a status quo that favors greed renamed success? Why allow a status quo that favors majorities over minorities? Why allow a status quo that favors aggression over peace? Why allow a reality where pushing others down raises you up? Because Jesus had a different way. And you can read about it in Matthew 5. It's called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Amen. The truth is, we cannot upend injustice and oppression and the world's anxiety overnight. But I can guarantee we are not going to bring hope and peace if we ourselves as individuals are running away from hope and peace. It is time for us to Sabbath, to find rest in a culture of rush. We can't live a life of inner peace when our outer pace is dysfunctional. And I'll be the first to admit that this week my outer pace was dysfunctional. One of Timothy's favorite authors, John Mark Comer, writes, Sabbath is a way to break our addiction to accomplishment and accumulation. The rhythm of our society is work more, buy more, repeat. The rhythm of the kingdom is work for 6 days. On day seven, stop, rest, delight. And as we end this series, I wanted to have one more section of practical steps. And it's all about starting small. We're not going to fall backwards into a rhythm of rest. It's about taking baby steps towards Sabbath. Who here likes a hot beverage on a cool morning? Okay, about 30% of us. I think maybe that poll didn't work as well as I should have. Who likes a glass of orange juice in the morning? Okay, three of us. Okay, we'll change it up. Who here gets up in the morning? Fantastic. It's awesome. Most of us do get up in the morning. If you are like me, and the first thing you do is pull out your phone, which is my alarm clock, which is probably a bad idea, although lately George has been our alarm clock, and you check your calendar, you check your email, and you start getting ready for the day, you've already been swept up into a current of rush. Let's do an experiment together. Let's spend 10 minutes. Set your alarm earlier or tell your baby daughter to get you up 10 minutes earlier. And let's spend 10 minutes looking outside at the rising sun with our cup of coffee, our orange juice, or your kombucha, whatever it is that you rush to drink in the morning. 10 minutes. Not focusing on what I have to do, what is weighing you down for the day. Let's focus together on our loving God. Let's start small. 10 minutes. If you can't do 10 minutes, and I know that is actually a reality for some of us, do 5 minutes. And if you want to do something incredibly practical that has revolutionized my time with God, is add some more senses to it. Make something tactile, whether that's lighting a candle or holding a cross or looking at an icon, some form of art that is beautiful. Bring in more of your senses to help you focus on a God who will love you more than you'll ever know. In my office, where I try and spend my time with God, I have this little setup, and it's just a little icon of Jesus. It is the Lord's Prayer, and it is actually a Jesus hanging that I just brought back from Africa. It was carved by one of the villagers we were with. And when I add these multiple senses and focus on my Creator and Redeemer, even if it's for 10 minutes with a cup of coffee, adding more of our senses, making this adventure with Jesus more tactile, can unlock something beautifully beyond for you. Maybe you've done this your whole life and this isn't new, and that's fine. Find something new in your time with God. If we start our day off by focusing on our Creator and Redeemer instead of focusing on that which has already stressed us out so much, I guarantee our days will be different. Let's do this together. St. Augustine said, God is always trying to give us good things, but our hands are too full to receive them. He wrote that in 300 AD. Some things don't change. God is always trying to give us good things, but our hands are too full to receive them. Let's open our hands to a God who wants to bless us, love us, give us peace and purpose in life. One thing I think it's important to note, we've been, again, saying this throughout this series, is Sabbath is not just a busy church Sunday. Rather, true Sabbath is and was from the very beginning how we are designed to rest with God. This is rebellion against a culture of rush. I should say it's a holy rebellion. And I believe this is a prophetic act in a time of anxious hurry. I think it's all easy for us to admit that something isn't right with the pace of this world. Sabbath, how we were created from the very beginning, designed to rest with God, is a recipe for healing. Where we wrap up this series is the place where we started. Surrender. It is time for us to courageously choose authenticity and surrender. One of the greatest gifts, in my opinion, of Sabbath is authentic perspective. It is the gift of self-awareness and a keen awareness of the world in which you live. Have you ever met anybody who was incredibly, we're not naming anybody here, we're not talking or even thinking about anybody, but have you ever met someone who is incredibly unself-aware? That person is a child of God, but that person needs to grow. And we've all been there. We've all had moments of a lack of self-awareness when we're the only one in a situation who is way out to lunch. Time with God grows our perspective. It gives us self-awareness, and it gives us clarity on the world in which we live. This awareness allows us to see the plank in our own eye with clarity before we see the sliver in the world that needs healing. Practically, as we talk about this authenticity with God, the Sabbath with God, there are three steps that have really helped me along. Three steps, Sabbath as authenticity. The first is be vulnerable. Be a storyteller. Be honest. Let people into your life and pain. If you are hiding who you really are, your friends and family can't know you. Ephraim of Syria wrote, O Lord and King, grant me to see my own transgressions and not to judge my brother. The first step of having this Sabbath as authenticity, this beautiful perspective, this awareness, is having the courage to be vulnerable, to own our stuff with God and with our brothers and sisters. I'm not saying this is easy, but how many people truly know you? The second is embracing the tension that this will bring. Know that you are a work in progress. You don't have to be perfect. It's kind of an obvious statement, but we don't live like that. You don't have to be perfect. Your bumps and bruises can become your strength. Your broken bones will heal stronger. Surgery is designed to heal through hurt. Babies are born through pain. Sometimes we have tumors that need to be removed. It hurts. Sometimes our faith breaks a leg, and it's the only one we're standing on. It will heal. And be ready to respond kindly to others when that's their experience, when they choose the courage of authenticity. There's no shaming others. Let's stay with them in this tension like we'd want them to stay with us. Ask questions and encourage them about the goodness that is ahead. I wish this weren't true, but God uses the hardest parts in our lives to prepare us for the best parts. Great victory is often birthed out of great defeat. It's been said for hundreds of years. And I wish it weren't true, but God uses this process of our pain to walk us through to wisdom, purpose, and peace. And I guess this would kind of be a public service announcement. Oftentimes in the church, we sweep over pain and reality itself in our hurry for heaven. We abandon the present because of something good, something hopeful for the future. We don't want the hard parts of life. We just want the peace and healing of God. This is a very natural human leap for us to want to move on and go towards what is good in the future. But we read something very different in the Bible. The sin, the pain, and suffering experience was the hard-earned fuel for the refining fire of healing. There's no promised land without the wilderness. We can't run from and deny and expect healing, freedom, and peace without spending some time in the desert. There's a term used in psychology for this mistake we as a church often make. It's called spiritual bypassing. Let's not deny or run from all of the stuff we are going through. Let's rather surrender it to God, be vulnerable and authentic together, and watch God heal it. And sometimes this healing happens immediately. And sometimes this healing, you've heard me say this before, is more like a Band-Aid put on with great love. Sabbath is a time to process, heal, and grow through our failings and fallings. Let's not pretend our pain or our anxiety or the stuff that we got weighing us down doesn't exist. Let's do this together. Let's stop the spiritual bypassing. Because Jesus spent 40 days in the desert too. Love, the love of God recognizes that we are not where we will always be. We are on a journey. We are works in progress. The third step for Sabbath as authenticity is to recover with rest, to go to God and His love, to spend time with Him, soak in His goodness and infinite love and promises with you. God is here waiting for you. Wherever you are, God is there waiting for you with open arms. The last thing before we read some scripture together and spend some time in worship and communion is the cap to this series. And it is Sabbath as realignment, Sabbath as realignment. One of the professors that I follow tells a story, and he asked his class of seminary students, that what role does God have for community to play in our spiritual formation? What role do we have to play in each other's spiritual formation? And of a class of 50, this is true, every single answer was related to keeping each other in line. Accountability, correction, confession, balance. No one suggested anything close to encouragement. Do you want to know why sometimes our church experience is so trying? It's because that we've taught people that love is identifying and calling each other's mistakes and imperfections out. You want to know the names of Satan in the Bible? The accuser. When we become each other's accusers and probation officers, you can make a good case we're doing the devil's work. I know that's intense. But do we want to help the Spirit transform people with Christ? Let's encourage their best behaviors. Let's recognize and identify the good. God's love is an abstract until we demonstrate it to others. And you do that by imparting value to others, not taking it away. Sabbath as recalibration is a paradigm shift where it goes from us seeing what's wrong to us seeing the Imago Dei, what is right, how every single person is created in the image of God with purpose and hope. Sabbath as recalibration can change us and change the world. If you are like me, most times you are fairly aware of your faults. Again, sometimes our self-awareness isn't there. We don't need someone confirming our worst suspicions about ourselves. What we do need is people in our corner spurring us on and loving us every step towards kingdom. Thomas Merton put it this way: in the devil's theology, the important thing is to be absolutely right and to prove that everybody else is absolutely wrong. Let's stop trying to prove that we are right and instead try and love ourselves and love others. Perhaps our greatest heresy is when we predetermine the extent of God's love and forgiveness for others. Sabbath as recalibration aligns us with the will of God. Perhaps our greatest heresy is when we predetermine the extent of God's love and forgiveness for others. If you are a victim of that right now, if you feel the judgment of the church, know that it is not from God. And take heart. Because you can hear the voice of God in the church even when you don't always feel it from the church people. Take heart, God loves you more than you will ever know. And we are all in this together, living and growing and loving in the presence of a God who will never leave us. Sabbath eliminates our obsessive need to prove that we are right and replaces it with healthy rhythms of life and love with Christ. This is how the world becomes the kingdom of God. Sabbath realigns us to God's love for us and our neighbor. It's time for us to rediscover our calling. And the starting point is eliminating the rush, the rat race, and being fueled with the fiery love of God. Membership in a local church means joining your imperfect self to many other imperfect selves to form an imperfect community that through Jesus embarks on a journey towards a better future together. We are in this together. And when we are recalibrated by Sabbath, given a new paradigm, instead of everybody getting squashed down, everybody is raised up in the presence of our healer. As we prepare for this time of communion and scripture together, let us know the truth that we are imperfect and we are an imperfect community. But when we surrender to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He takes that imperfection and turns it into something beautiful that can transform the world. Until the church consistently leads people to the wilderness, prayer, solitude, silence, reflection, and repentance, to confront our own demons, we will project our demons back into the world and fail to see that some demons in the world are reflections of ourselves. Sabbath as recalibration is our healing, alone and together. Because if we're honest, if I'm honest, boy, do I got some demons to work through. And when we do this together, what is dark and scary and stressful and depressed and anxious about this world can be turned into a process of growth and beauty together. Again, it isn't always as fast and as immediate as we want it. And we can't just skip over to heaven. God has something beautiful in the process with us together. N.T. Wright puts it this way: love is God's river flowing on into the future, across the border and into the country where there is no pride, no jostling for position, no contention amongst God's people. We are invited to step into that river here and now and let it take us where it's going. This is God's hope, God's future, and we are invited into it together. It is time for the church to be the prophetic voice that it was called to be, a voice of goodness and beauty in a world that is desperate for hope, peace, and purpose. And I truly believe that that prophetic word right now is rest with Christ. Sabbath. It's original and it's good, and we've completely abandoned it. To be prophetic is to love God, love the good, and love a people enough to show them the way to the good. And that prophetic voice that is so countercultural right now is Sabbath, is rest. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read the scripture again this morning. Are you tired, worn out, burned out? Come to me. Get away with me, Jesus says, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The truth is that you are not alone. God is with you, and we are in this together. In an oftentimes hectic and equally mundane and stressful and isolating world, we miss the beauty and the love that God has for us. This morning, we slow down, we breathe, we pray, and we center ourselves before all-loving God. We're going to spend some time in Scripture right now with some worship and communion, some true time set aside for God. I'm going to read a couple passages to prepare us for this time. And as we end this series on Sabbath, on recalibrating our paradigm before God, let us know that the greatest thing that we can do every day is sit at the feet of Jesus. And there is some time right now for us to do that as a church. We're going to spend some time with Jesus. For this time of worship, responsive worship and communion, after I'm done these scriptures, the band is going to come up and play some songs. And the challenge for us is to choose courage. If there is something that you need to surrender to God, take the leap of faith, the courageous first step, and unburden that. God can recalibrate us and begin the process of healing, but we can't just skip over what we got going on. God has something for us in that pain. After the first song, the communion servers are going to come up, and we're going to read the words of Jesus at the Last Supper. And as we continue to worship after that, follow God's leading. Jump around and praise Him and celebrate the beauty that is a new life with Christ. Take communion, bring it back to your seat, spend some time in prayer. Follow the Spirit's leading in this time. This is time with Christ. Let us be obedient, courageous together. Let us surrender and unburden ourselves. Let us celebrate our risen Lord and the peace that He gives us with Sabbath. Because Jesus ushered in a new world order of healing and asked us to be a part of it. We have lots to celebrate. So follow God's voice on this and the Spirit's leading in this time. I'm going to read a few passages while the band comes up. And in this time, pray that God would open your eyes to what He has in His Word for us. We're switching it up this morning, and I know that always is weird, but I think sometimes we need to break our habits and try something new so God can get a hold of us. I'm going to pray, and then we'll read these scriptures together and worship. And when it feels right, after the first song, take communion, celebrate together, surrender together, Sabbath together. Jesus, thank You for Your new world order. Thank You for Your healing, for the process of love in this world. God, we give You this time and we praise You. We choose courage to take a step closer towards You, to unburden ourselves with the stuff, the weight that we have in this life. And we confess our idol of busyness. And we replace it with the one true God, You. God, give us courage in this moment as we do something different, as we surrender, as we celebrate Your presence and Your hope, peace and purpose in our life. And as we read these passages, I pray that You would open our eyes and hearts to Your word, to Your leading and direction in our lives. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me or you can read on the screen behind. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 1, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." Everything in this world is giving praise to God, whether it knows it or not. "He is before all things, and in Him all things are held together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. If everybody would stand up, I pray that as we spend this time together in worship and surrender and celebration, that God would open something new up in you and show you a path, show you his goodness and his healing. Jesus, we love you and we praise you, and we celebrate your reality. We give you this time, and we give you our courage and our hearts. We love you. Amen.